Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 17, Identity and Change. The world is topsy-turvy, up is down, left is right, dogs and cats sleeping together. It's crazy. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Man, this one got dark.
It was dark.
Real dark. Was not anticipating.
My boy Fritz. That's my listen. Loving dark Fritz.
That evil mad scientist.
It was not a happy
Fritz.
Episode.
No.
No, man. Oh boy. Well, let's not waste any time. Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Tonight we're talking about Season 4, Episode 17. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1, JessKlein, the number one.
To his left, Tehran.
I am Tehran, literally at I am Tehran all across the board, and I am surprised that Jesse Klein is here.
Back. So happy that you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I'm allegedly here.
Is he the real Jesse Klein? Like, I'm questioning a lot of things.
I don't know if this is a simulation or not.
You're the traitor.
I'm the traitor. Okay.
I mean, nothing on the internet is real, right? Yeah. And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and staring blankly ahead in disbelief at that Zach Wilson.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at the Menguin. That's Themenguin. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as an eye on the live chat. Zach's got you there. Yeah. Freaking A.
Freaking A.
Wow.
Yeah, let's just...
Not cool, bro. Yeah.
Not cool, bro. In the words of the great Coulson, not cool, bro.
Megan, can you please check your language? I don't appreciate frickin' A.
Frickin' A. I'm sorry.
It's but a family
when,
show.
When Fitz just goes around murdering people, I feel like language such as frickin' A is applicable.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe even stronger language, like gosh darn it.
Oof.
Ooh. I'm sorry.
Calm down. This is a family show.
It's a family
right.
show.
I'm so sorry.
Don't bring Dern's name up.
and it's Passover. I just want to go there.
It is. I'm sorry, guys. This just has me so emotionally wrecked. Let's just go ahead and start talking about that part of the episode. Let's talk about Fitz and Ophelia. And for those of you listening on iTunes, I used air quotations to indicate Ophelia. Because Ada has created a new identity for herself here in the framework. And I kind of think, given this episode, that all that stuff about her not having emotions, I feel like all of that just went right out the window.
Yep.
I don't know if in the framework she's capable of feeling feelings, but like all of the spiteful, angry things she was just spewing at Radcliffe, I feel like all that stuff about her not actually only mimicking emotions, I feel like all that's BS at this point.
It doesn't make sense that only in the framework, because it's all just code. So they could have just coded her to have emotions if she's feeling emotions.
I feel like
somebody
brought up in our comments last week that straight up Darkhold corruption has given her emotions, and that's why she's acting this way.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'd definitely be willing to buy into that theory.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I'm looking. I think it's easy to forget because, like, there's so much, like, science and stuff going on, but the framework was built
because
around, like,
out
by
of
the Darkhold.
And dark magic!
I wish they would bring that up more. That seems like an important
to remind us at the very least, because yeah. I know that I got some questions just before we went live on Twitter. Like Mofavo is like, I hope you discuss the rules of AI, because you would think that any of the characters that are in this world, like AI, would be directed by Ada. But that's where I think the framework and the Darkhold is important, because all the NPCs here, they're so realistic because of the Darkhold's involvement. This is not just pure science. This is a magic world that they're living in.
Well, I wish they would really hit that, because, I was like, why is there a program that's just for people to go to work on the bus? and then randomly someone gets, taken down by Hydra.
Yeah, well, it's taking the mechanics of everybody who is it creates like a template, like a starting point.
Yeah.
And then it's like, go. And I guess it has 7 billion starting points across this planet. And it's just like seeing how they weave. And where it gets interesting is that as Madame Hydra, Ada is like semi-controlling it, but only not in a hands-on sense, but in a like, I've just put myself into a position of power here.
Yeah. Well, but she's not like going into the code and changing it.
Yeah.
Can someone answer this? How come when AI becomes self-aware, it's always angry and mad and spiteful? Why can't it be like, oh, I have emotions now, let's smile?
It's called never, bicentennial, man.
Why can it never be something
starring Robin Williams?
Why can it never be something positive like Ada has? We could
like, it's all part of the
real good change.
It's all part of the social commentary that humanity is garbage. Because usually the reason why an AI goes crazy is because it was mistreated by its creator.
We saw
it
that in enslaved.
Ultron. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it thinks it's saving humanity from itself. There are lots also of Ultron. Reasons and lots of justifications for AI going haywire. Bottom line, it usually boils down to robots view humanity as garbage.
Well, the way I've best heard it is that an artificial intelligence and computers in general like things to be simple and easy. The easiest way, the easiest way from point A to point B is the only way. And life is really complicated and random and messy.
Life gets in the way of life.
Yeah, exactly. And so
life finds a way.
But life always finds a way. Life gets in
the way. Not Agnes. Agnes.
Not that life.
But so, what's going on here? Like
you.
But so I've that explanation always works the best for me. That as an artificial intelligence that is mostly, you know, ones and zeros itself, it's trying to find the simplest answer, and life gets in the way of that because it's messy and doesn't make sense and isn't logical. And that's, it's not that they are angry or vengeful, although Ada seems to be so, or Ophelia, please don't hear me say Ada.
Don't ever call me that here.
The A stands for artificial.
It does. The O stands for other than human. in general, usually AI, when they try and kill people, it's because they're just in the way of progress.
Yeah.
I do think the name Ophelia was interesting because of the connection to the tragic character.
Shakespearean allusion, yeah.
And Ophelia does kill herself.
So she does kill herself.
What happens?
Nobody out crazies Ophelia. And interesting, too, would that make Fitz Hamlet in this scenario?
If he rejects her, then yes.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of her...
I was thinking Radcliffe was Hamlet, but...
Well, he's a pretty tragic story for him right now.
Yeah.
Given that Agnes is gone and now he's in a jail cell being tortured by mad scientist Hydra Fitz.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Who I love so much. I love the way Hydra Fitz looks and dresses and talks. Guess you didn't know me after all.
Guys, Tehran is watching this. He's almost clapping when Fitz, like, that last moment, Tehran was just, like, gesticulating and super happy about it.
There goes the awkward, heroic love of Gemma's life, which we saw. We saw her.
So are you digging this romance between Ophelia and Fitz, then?
First of all, Ophelia is taking away... Okay, remember Sky used to be my number one? This episode, Ophelia went ahead.
Is it like, the green hair?
It's the entirety of her persona. And she found a loophole around killing Radcliffe or attacking Radcliffe herself by trying to get Fritz to do it. And then Fritz, of course, took out Agnes instead. But that was interesting.
Is evil Fitz Fritz? It's very German, so it sort of works.
It's Fritz. We're not calling him Fritz. I'm not calling him. I refuse to call him Fitz.
He is on the Fritz.
He's not Fitz. Like, this is not Fitz.
That's fair. I feel like we can call Framework Fitz.
I thought
Fritz.
I was.
And that works with works Framework on,
there's
too.
So many levels.
There we go. Yeah. He's Fritz now.
No, I'm not calling him Fitz. Like, Fitz was like, oh, what are we doing?
Fitz was the man who crossed the universe
Fritz
to save Gemma.
So good an impression. Yeah. catch Teron's live tour where he just does impressions.
Hey, Mondays and Thursdays at Laugh Factory, 10 o'clock.
Guys, so good.
I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm fit.
Is he here now?
Yeah.
Whoa.
But then it's so Fritz comes in. Ian Fritz is like, I guess you don't know me after all.
Boom.
So gangster.
That must be so fun.
He needs to drop a rap album. He's gangster.
No, that must be so fun for Ian to get to play because Fitz is, you know, we've gotten to see bits of Fitz's dark side over the last few years.
They have been strong every now and then, but not like
this.
Oh,
no. Dude, when Gemma was gone, he was like an action hero. It was amazing, and it was so cool to get to see that side of him. And this is, you know, this is Fitz without Gemma. This is a Fitz in a world, you know, without... I don't want to call it a world without morality because we have Mace and the resistance, but this is Fitz without his conscience. This is Fitz without everything that made him him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so interesting to see. And here's the thing. If Ophelia can feel feelings, is she in love with Fitz? And is that like really the is that really her whole motivation for all of this? Yeah, Radcliffe was forcing her, or she had to be at Radcliffe's behest in the real world, and he was the one that was doing all this framework stuff. But why put herself into the framework specifically to be with Fitz? Is that why
she's always loved him. She loved him on the other side as well. Come up before.
Because he wasn't holding her captive necessarily, but he definitely had the affection for her. He treated her, I think, probably more as a person than any other, like...
He also helped make her as well, or perfect her.
He helped create her. Even when you know, that copy of her was running around in S.H.I.E.L.D., he kept insisting, guys, no, we can't hurt her. And even after they decapitated her, he was like, he was actively using her programming to try to find Radcliffe and to try to find a solution to everything that was going on. So even when things were really bad, Fitz still, in a weird way, believed in Ada. And it's so weird to think of this, you know, series of ones and zeros who can mirror emotion actually actively developing feelings of love for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least seemingly. Maybe it's just all part of her, like, I want to be the one in control, and in this way she feels powerful. Because she now has sway over the men who gave her life. You know, for Fitz, it's in a romantic sense slash professional sense. And for Radcliffe, he was her prisoner for however long he's been in there.
Why do you think she's rounding up Inhumans?
I think that must be something the world
just decided,
did around her.
According to her, she took away, you know, very specific bad things that happened to our main characters, and
everything
in her words, everything else that happened to the world, I had nothing to do with. It's just the way, you know, the wheels are put in motion. I call BS on that, because why then put yourself at the head of Hydra if you're just the, hey, I just got the, you know, I've just got the gears in motion. I'm not actively, you know, tampering with this machine.
Yeah, it's weird that Hydra is just rounding up Inhumans. Like, that's a weird choice for the world.
Well, this is the thing that always interested me about Hydra, like going back to like Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Is, if you think about, like, and it's true of any super, like, super villain organization, is like, okay, they want to rule the world.
Mm.
But beyond the, like, tangential, just, I want to rule the world.
And
like,
then what?
What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
like,
then
when
what?
We give it to you, now what, Cobra? Now what's, what?
Yeah, other than, like, being an asshole, like, what do you want to do with the world? And I think in this case, it's that Hydra, and like, I think it applies to the real world within S.H.I.E.L.D., within the MCU as well, is that Hydra wanted to protect the world, but in their own way.
Yeah.
And
in their own image, yeah.
Inhumans pose a threat the same way that they did in the real world. Like, Inhumans pose a threat. The difference is there's no one out there that can advocate for love and understanding of these people that could be dangerous. It's just the pure, these people are dangerous, so bottom line, they're bad.
Also, this is a Hydra without Hive, which was a pro-inhuman Hydra, which is a Hydra that was about empowering and getting inhumans. And
that's
like,
a good point, though, because like ancient Hydra, which ancient Hydra exists within this world because Coulson makes reference to it.
Clearly overshadowed by military Hydra.
Yeah.
So maybe it did exist, but that faction died out.
Yeah, or something like that.
I guess, without S.H.I.E.L.D., they never rescue Hive from Mavith.
Because Gemma never went across the universe.
So that part of the story just never happened.
Well, can we also think of it in this terms is two things. First of all, Inhumans are the biggest threat to Ophelia herself.
That's
because
fair.
They have the power.
They have superpowers.
They have superpowers, so they can cause and create. And
if she
take over.
If she really is just, I feel like obviously she's manipulating things here or there, but I think for the most part she is kind of trying to take a hands off approach to everything. But like, if you have Inhumans running around, then that's going to cause all sorts of problems for this world that you have established. And it's like, ooh, yeah, that's not going to be good for me. Probably easier just to round them all up.
She's playing God, so why allow other gods to exist?
I don't think that she exercised that much control over that, because she says that like all she did was correct the greatest regrets of the people
she
that
doesn't
put
lie.
In, and then the world. It's true she could lie, but
within her own logic. So in her logic, everything that has to do with Inhumans also has to do with the misery of the people that she is creating a world for. And in this world, whether they are happy or not, what they say they wanted has happened in a lot of ways. Phil Coulson has an ex-wife. That ex-wife, for all we are assuming, is the cellist, the one he had the picture of.
I feel like we can assume that.
Mac has his daughter. Why did Mac not? Because of Inhumans. Phil didn't have the girl because of Inhumans. She's eradicated the one thing that actually causes.
I'd say S.H.I.E.L.D. Inhumans weren't big into the story.
I think that's the thing
prior
is that
to that.
Coulson's biggest regret was joining it. It's not even what was the worst thing in their life.
Happy.
It's just what they think was their biggest regret. And I think what the whole thing is that. I believe Ada. In this circumstance where she's saying like she just corrected those things and then let the world play out.
And because she lacks compassion, she didn't feel any remorse in terms of like watching the world fall apart.
Yeah, she was just like
because
she
of those
created
decisions.
The world that she imagined that these people wanted because this changed the
this
thing.
Is what they say.
Yeah, and like so May regrets not like saving the little girl in Bahrain, but the consequence, like despite the fact that she wishes that that thing had never happened, the consequence to the other side of it is something bad. Coulson wishes he could have had a life without a normal life, but Coulson is so instrumental in how the world has been shaped, like because of him running S.H.I.E.L.D. and being a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. through all of these events, that without him the like S.H.I.E.L.D. falls.
But also he's because of who Coulson is, because he's miserable being this guy without S.H.I.E.L.D.
I knew I wasn't crazy,
but I'm waiting for my Coulson brand soap. Like I
love that. Like
yeah,
it's true that like there's chemicals in the soap.
Yeah.
That's why I make my own.
Yeah. It was incredibly silly, but again, like he's miserable as this teacher, because he has all of this information and all of these thoughts about the way the world is working, and he can't do anything because he's a high school teacher. And I've told you 1,000 times, this is my time, Lucy. Until the bell rings, this is my time. And then,
okay, fine. Yeah. Jeez.
And I think that like it's interesting to see that like we are like who we are is a culmination of all of our actions. There's not one thing that makes you sad or makes you happy. It is every choice put together. That's who our collective conscious is. And so the idea that you could go back and change one thing is a fool's errand, and we're seeing that.
Yeah. Side note, do you know who the student?
Who was it?
That's Clark Gregg's daughter.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That That's beautiful. Yeah.
Only his daughter could be like, okay, geez. Only she could deliver that line.
That makes so much sense because apart from that, I was like, well, that was a random moment to have in this episode. Knowing that it was a specific cameo, that's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Do you think she was just there on set and they were like, hey, we need to pad this out for about another 30 seconds. Hop on in.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe she'll come back. Like when they.
And I that know. She was blaming her dad for not having her homework done.
Yeah.
Oh, that was spectacular. So, yeah, let's talk about Coulson a little bit because, yeah, I love that, like, once, because last episode he was so complacent and, like, we see, like, kind of bits trying to break through with all of these newspaper clippings, but, like, he ratted Gemma out. He let his student get, like, you know, abducted in the middle of class. Don't forget your bag. So it was really gratifying to see that childlike enthusiasm that we saw in the Avengers come back of like, oh my gosh, it's the Patriot.
He hasn't been able to have that
like nerdy Coulson.
That nerdy Coulson. Like that was how we met him, but he's had to be a leader on S.H.I.E.L.D. all these seasons. So this is really this is Coulson Prime.
You get to see it every now and then. You get to see it every now and then. Like the shield he had was the Captain America shield, and like every now and then he'd get a little comet, but like here, there's just that pure joy and love of heroism.
I made some sketches of what your uniform could look like. Yours is better, though.
Well, apparently, in the real world, I have a metal hand. How cool is that? And then he's like, huh, I guess I can shoot a gun.
And, and yeah, even that moment where they're surrounding Radcliffe, and he's like, hold it right there. It's like, that's not how you hold a gun, like, at all. Also, that's probably not safe in your hands at the moment.
Also, don't say hold it right there. He's been watching his cowboy movies.
Hold it right there, partner.
Yeah, the chat agrees. Fanboy Coulson is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fun.
It's so nice to see him come back. Contrast that with how, like, you know, how stone-hearted May is. You know, it's such a stark contrast seeing, like,
but
again,
is it really?
It is.
Is it really? We've seen the side of May. We just haven't seen it for such a long period of time. This side of May, actually,
she was never this ruthless, though.
I think if you were an enemy of S.H.I.E.L.D., you would think that. I think you would
this
think,
is what May looks like,
yeah,
to
this
you.
Is what May looks like. If you're an enemy of S.H.I.E.L.D., May is a horror story you tell your children. Like 100%.
I mean,
you're like,
this is the cavalry.
Yeah, exactly. Like if
she's
you're
like the Kaiser Soze, like
Hydra
the boogeyman
agent,
story you tell.
Yeah, if you're
other
a Hydra
criminals.
Agent, she is legend. It is May. Like, you do not mess with her. If you see Melinda May, you
run.
Put down your gun and you handcuff yourself and you run. Like, I think 100% enemies of S.H.I.E.L.D. see this version
of
May.
It's interesting to see, like, both May and Fitz, like, the people who are closest to Ada/Madam Hydra.
Mm.
Are seemingly the most intensely turned.
You know, you make a really great point with that because Ada did really get attached to May when she was recuperating.
Yeah,
and May was like, I like her. You know, she didn't catch on May was the first person that was taken captive too. Yeah, in a weird way, Ada has like this weird affection for both May and Fitz, or at least recognizes them both as valuable assets in this world where she has put herself on top. So yeah, that is a good observation that that those two people who she was closest to in the real world have now become essential parts of her inner circle.
Have May or Fitz killed
Fritz?
Fitz in the real world. Have May or Fitz killed any of the robots?
Mac decapitated.
I know, but May and Fitz. Like, have any of them killed any of the?
Not May, because she was in.
She was already
deep in the framework.
Yeah.
Fitz. No, because he would have been captured when they were on the Russian base.
So it's interesting that, like, the two people who have not killed, because we know Daisy killed some, and Mac killed one, and Coulson killed one. Like,
Mac chopped Ada's head off. Yeah, let's not forget that. Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised that she's let him be for as long as she has.
So it's interesting, the two people without robot blood on their hands.
Is that oil?
This is cooling fluid.
that's a really good observation. Talking about that, kind of switching gears a little bit, talking about Gemma in this episode.
Read that.
Oh, it's, I wrote it, so that helps.
Yeah.
We got, guys, you can't see, it's off camera, but we have a bulletin board with notes on it, and the ink is clearly running out in the pen we use. Gemma, and we get a kind of a reunion in this episode, not just between Gemma and Coulson, but with Gemma and Ward.
True.
And if we recall correctly, Gemma hates Ward with
really
a special passion because of what he did to Fitz in the real world. And it, like, she
went rogue and tried to kill him in the real world. Yeah.
I remember the specific moment where she threatened, she's like, if you ever try anything, like, I will murder you myself. And then, fast forward a little bit, she absolutely tried to murder him. And if it hadn't been for Bakshi, he would have died.
Yeah.
Like, then and there. So now she's face to face. And, you know, she's seen him as a weird alien zombie guy. And now she's seeing him again in this, where, in a really weird way, he's the good guy.
He's the good guy. There is no weird way.
It's weird. It's weird to see Ward back as, like, you know, kind of Boy Scout Ward, like we saw him in season one.
He's just rebel. This is what we said last week, Ward just, like,
it doesn't matter what color he's with.
He's a teenager. He's like, whoever's in charge, I don't like you. I'm going to be on the bad guy's side.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
It literally does not matter what cause. He has to. He's like the original hipster in this world. It does not matter what it is that's going on. He has to rebel
against it. Hilarious. Yeah.
But, like, this is him, like, essentially on the side of good. So, like, for whatever that's worth.
At least as far as we can tell for right now, I would not put it past this Ward to betray everyone
again. But this is his program, not Ward,
because
he's not a real person. So it is the program that has decided that this is how Ward would act in this scenario.
Based, I guess, on their memories of him?
Based off collective memory, or I don't know how it's put together. It's interesting that when Radcliffe sees him, he's like, oh, this is, okay, so not Hive. Like,
you're the other guy.
Yeah, you're
the
other
one. I've never met you.
You're the one from before.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is interesting.
I like that he was freaked out that he was Hive, though. Like,
It would have been really funny if, like, he was just programmed as Hive. So it's like all this Hydra world, and then just, like, Hive also is there, like, hello.
That's what he sounds like. He's like Warner Brothers frog.
He's Zoidberg.
What's our impressions?
He's just like, hello, it's me.
You know what? You
it's
can open
me,
for
Zoidberg.
Me. You can open for
Thank
me
you.
On tour.
Why not?
Why not?
Me.
I think a certain squid man has an idea.
You know what would be really interesting? Even though Hive is a horrible monster that brainwashes people. What would happen if he was Hive in this world, for whatever reason, is that it would turn into all-out war between Hydra and Inhumans, because this version of Hydra is the military version that's, like, super anti-Inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Hydra would be, like, split in between the religious Hydra, which supported Hive, and the military Hydra, which is, like, Inhumans, bad, not about it.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting thought.
Like, if that happens.
It's not gonna
it's
happen.
Not,
it's
big,
just a thought.
You
That's
have
a
big
what if.
Sculpture of him in the middle of your foyer.
Can we talk about Ward's dedication to Sky? And he says the line, I'd die for her.
And he has a bunch of
and
times.
So it's just very interesting to watch the side of Ward, and Ward, who I like, you guys not fans. Well,
again, this is not Ward.
I like Brett Dalton.
It is a program that has decided this is how Ward would act.
Or is life just, how do we know this is real? We don't.
We don't.
Ward is real.
We don't.
No,
it's not. I'm like pretty sure that none of this has been real.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible, but we know this for sure, that their world is not real and programmed.
Why does Ward instinctively trust Gemma? And because if I'm on the resistance and I have a clear shot of the doctor, I'm not just taking someone's who I just met 5 hours ago's word for, first of all, going to Radcliffe, but fine, we're here now. I have a clear shot. I'm taking this person.
Well,
out.
he trusts Skye, and Skye trusts Gemma. So it's like transitive properties.
Also, I saw that as a moment of manipulation. He was using that to get information from Gemma. He was saying, "You're keeping information from me. I'm going to shoot this guy." And she said, "Fine, I'll tell you everything."
Classic Ward sociopath.
I think he was using it as a moment to manipulate the situation.
Or Gemma said, "I love him," and that changed his mind.
It didn't change it. It was until she said, I'll tell you everything.
I love him. And he said, okay, well, you're going to have to start talking. And she.
I think for him, that was more shock of like, how could anyone love the doctor?
But he,
the crazy hydro scientist.
Well, that name, how can you help it? Especially when Gemma refers to him as the doctor.
Yeah.
In that British, in Elizabeth, and she's just British voice. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he would be the doctor. Very different doctor.
Oh, man. Especially because she has a British accent. Like, I could easily see this dialogue being transposed into an episode of Doctor Who and working just fine.
And so
Elizabeth Henschutz for the Doctor. Put it out there, universe.
That would be the best!
That would be amazing. Also, we see that Fritz is working on Project Looking Glass.
Yes, which Ophelia claims is a gateway to another world, a world that she came from.
And that
so
Shield won.
She spun this interesting narrative about parallel dimensions. Mm. I feel like we can assume, which is why she can justify why Agnes looks just like her and why Radcliffe talks about another version of Fitz. I was like, if you're gonna go with a narrative where people who are here who shouldn't be here, it makes sense, like the whole parallel dimensions thing.
Yeah.
What's the use of, like, if Ophelia or Ada, Madame Hydra, whatever, doesn't believe that anyone can, like, hack their way into the framework, because she doesn't until they do. What is the purpose of having the Project Looking Glass set up within this world?
Well, my theory is she's going to try and hack into the biological bodies
that are
connected to the framework now.
Yes.
So Project Looking Glass is a way to reverse it. She's trying to get into a human body. Ophelia is, or Ada in our world. And so Project Looking Glass is her way of becoming a human. She will hack her intelligence into one of the humans who are in the framework's
body.
What
if she was planning on doing that to Gemma? Kill off the version of Gemma that's in the framework, and then, you know, wait for the real one to hop in, and then, hijack her body.
Could do that, yeah.
And become Gemma, and so that way she can be close to
Fitz.
The other hilarious option is that is that she creates a framework within the framework. And then we get into Inception, where now the people who are in the framework then hook up to another AI or artificial world. And then
a matrix inside of a matrix
created again.
Oh gosh, do you think there's a framework version of the Darkhold somewhere?
There's gotta be.
It's too much.
And it just it's like that episode of Rick and Morty where they just keep going into the world and into the smaller world and into the smaller world.
Teenyverse.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Well, let's put a pin in that discussion at the moment so that we can take a really quick moment to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and we love that we have an international audience. It still astounds me that we're just not, like, talking into the void, that there are people all around the world who listen to us.
True.
And that's something that will continually, you know, fill me with awe and humility. And thank you guys just immensely, because I can't say that, like, I ever anticipated that we would ever have fans worldwide. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we put on. So it helps keep the lights on, helps keep us at this desk. And if you do, you might even get a shout out on the show.
Yeah, you might. You will. Wolf Lover 5225, thank you so much. Antoine 22, best hype man ever. I don't know if the best.
Like, that's a bold claim.
I mean, you're going to like this person. Make it real sexy, like Evil Fit Sexy.
That's my boy.
And they're going for me too. Boom Goes the Doom.
Oh!
Hell yeah. Because I think that's referring to me.
Hopefully. That's awesome.
Sexy Doom. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Serpent.
That's just you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Serpentina Lynn, Framework Ward is all that in a bag of spicy hot chips. Oh, my God.
I want to hang out with Serpentina Lynn.
thank you, Flare Knight 79, Phoenix Incarnate, and Ernie KD. The framework contains Skyward.
Yes, it does.
The thing fans have been asking for forever.
Phoenix Incarnate, great name, by the way. Can we just, like, really say, very subtle, very great X-Men reference.
I was going to say, yeah, do you think in the framework, all of the Marvel properties that still are owned by other studios can exist?
Well, it's interesting that, like, there isn't an Incredible Hulk around, or, like, Thor.
We touched on this. They're probably all super dead.
Yeah.
Well, or not super dead. They don't need to necessarily be...
Thor doesn't need to be meddling in Midgard.
A specific incident, and Thor doesn't need to come to Earth if certain things don't happen.
If Coulson never joined S.H.I.E.L.D., the events of the original Thor movie do not progress as they normally would.
That's true.
So that does not... So Thor is probably just over in New Mexico? Asgard, like, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He came down, spent a day here, had his arc, and went home.
The Hulk is probably in Costa Rica or something along those lines.
Or no Hulk. There is no Hulk. There is no accident.
No, Captain America might still be frozen in ice.
He probably...
Frozen Captain America.
Oh, that's heart-wrenching.
No, because that was not... I guess that was S.H.I.E.L.D. that, like, eventually dug him up.
S.H.I.E.L.D. found him.
Oh. Well, no, it wasn't S.H.I.E.L.D. that found him. It was, Arctic Explorers that found him, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. was called in. They probably found him and just murdered him on the spot. Well,
they probably found him and then harvested his blood.
Oh, to make the super soldier serum.
Yeah.
Which is why the Patriot has powers in this world.
I think he's maybe just a straight up...
He might just be inhuman.
Inhuman in this world.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't... We honestly don't know if Mace is an inhuman. In the real world, for all we know, he's never been exposed to Terrigen.
That's true.
But they are saying something about, for the next episode, where they alluded to a serum that would hurt Mace, which may be... Why does that exist?
I think they were alluding to the fact that if May took it, she could kick the
crap out
of him.
That's what I mean.
Or
like,
maybe
serum
an inhuman.
Inhuman.
Yeah, I think Maze is saying you're juicing like you've been doing steroids.
Exactly.
Or you're inhuman.
IGH.
Or
inhuman. Which we've been talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the IGH from Netflix. That's a different thing.
Although, same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also never said inhuman growth hormone on the show. That's what we've been saying.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, maybe.
The rest in peace, Billy Koenig.
Yes! It was so nice to hear that the Koenigs do exist in the framework, and it's so sad to hear that Billy died.
But the other ones presumably are around.
Yeah.
My boy,
oh,
Billy.
Gosh, just that wall of valor. We actually paused it to see if we could find any named references.
I pulled the stills in Enhanced, and I couldn't find anything.
No,
the closest I got was it looked like there's a bee. Moose. Yeah. It's like, you're like, all right, you're one letter off.
Yeah.
I was sort of expecting to see something like that, like B. Morse or L. Hunter.
I was definitely expecting to see Bobby and Hunter's name on there, along with maybe even Tripp's or.
I was expecting Tripp.
Yeah, but yeah. No,
Tripp is last name? What's Tripp's?
I don't recall.
Tripp? it's like Cher.
The artist formerly known as Tripp. But yeah, talking about that, I really like this version of Mace where he really does get to be that like larger than life hero.
Yeah.
But it's so weird seeing the power dynamic between him and Coulson, of Coulson fanboying over him, because it's just such a weird flip flop because, you know, Mace was, you know, they had a weird power dynamic for a little while where they were kind of constantly trying to control S.H.I.E.L.D. in various ways. So it's just really interesting to see him as, like, classic superhero while Coulson's just like, oh my gosh, I'm meeting the Patriot. This is the best thing ever. But Mace also doesn't have any reason to trust Gemma or outside of, you know, Ward vouching for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird because
I thought Coulson was going to be his trigger.
I kind of was hoping so as well.
For Mace.
But yeah, they're seeing, and maybe
why would Mace want to remember the real world?
I don't know.
If I was Mace, I wouldn't want to. I'd be like, I'm an actual hero.
A world run by Hydra is a world that's no good.
But again, like, I think Tehran has an interesting point where this gives Mace a purpose that he's always wanted.
He's always wanted this
purpose. In the real world, he literally threw himself into captivity to feel like a hero for no reason.
Yeah.
He's got, like, he has, like, the weight, though, of, like, a guy in charge in this world.
Of a guy leading a resistance. Yeah.
A lot of people were messaging me, like, on Twitter and in here. They're like, you just need to say I'm Batman. Because
he's got
Jason,
that, like...
Well, Jason O'Mara has voiced Batman.
Yeah.
And he's... I guess the voice is very close to his Batman
voice.
Well,
not to mention that, like, the lighting in this version of S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters is very dark and very gritty. Yeah. Any second now, just be like, I am vengeance. I am the night.
who's Batman?
We can talk about DC comics in here. It's just
that exists in the framework. Yeah. Oh, I get. Oh, okay. Oh,
it's a weird guy.
He's
from
friends
comics.
With Spider-Man.
Okay, because it's.
I mean, it's this little
my favorite comic.
It's this little sort of indie comic that I mean, I don't think it'll ever.
It's
take
sort
off,
of a rip off on like Iron Man. They sort of stole
like
his story.
Opposite,
like
antithesis.
Gave it an animal.
Yeah, it's like a Detective Comics number one.
Oh. He's supposed to be like the world's greatest detective. I don't know. I don't think he does that much detective work. Just saying. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Certainly
this
not.
It's gone off the rails. Yeah.
Certainly
Let's
not a
get
franchise.
Back. Okay. Certainly not a franchise that's been rebooted several times.
But yeah, seeing Mace, I think there are some people who will be like, definitely, like, for instance, we haven't gotten to a story yet, but like Mac, I think when he. That's going to be heart-wrenching. Like, there's no nice way of seeing Mac realize that this world is not the real one.
Without his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that his daughter...
I mean, his whole motivation right now for coming to S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first place is because he's disappointed her.
Yes.
Exactly. He betrayed everything that was his moral, civic values for his daughter, and then does everything to regain... that for his daughter.
Yeah.
To the point where he names his daughter Hope. And it is his hope. It is his it is his version of a Gemma. It is his version of a conscious. It is his everything.
No, yeah. I mean,
well, she was named Hope in the real world.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
and
that's why
just...
when they say, oh, this is your hope. You know, the way they say there's clearly a double entendre.
Well, no, that's because Mac one time told her, I lost Hope.
Exactly. This is what I mean.
And
it's like, a double entendre. Yeah. It's played, and it's like, oh,
at the time she didn't realize it. Yeah.
I lost hope, and this is his hope. It is his hope in humanity, his hope in the world, it's hope, his hope and dreams and everything from his...
And that actress is fantastic.
Yeah, let's talk about hope for a little bit, because, first of all, pretty darn good child acting for a television series.
Yeah.
Like, give her a hand. She played this very smart, precocious kid very, very well.
Yeah.
And it totally makes sense that, you know, a little girl raised by Mac would, of course, be a mechanical genius.
Yeah.
Like, of course. Of course, that would be the kid he wants. It was a kid who can identify motorcycle engines just by the sound, and who can who makes drones in her spare time.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, this fake kid is way more active than I ever was as a real child. Every second there we're both on screen together, it's endearing and also infuriating at the same time, because we ultimately know this whole thing is going to come crashing down on him.
And it's also why it hurts so much when Mac, like, was brought into Hydra and manipulated that way, clearly at the behest of Madame Hydra. I don't know what to... I'm just going to call her Madame Hydra.
Yeah.
Because, like, who else... Like, there's no other reason why they would ever grab Mac, and, like, there's no other way that he or May, for that matter, would know all those details, like Daisy Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, that would infer that S.H.I.E.L.D. knew the identity of Daisy Johnson and just never told her. And granted, they knew some stuff about her, but, like, in the real world, but they didn't know her name.
But they knew, but, like, that, what Max said, like, basically that was all playing into the actual story. Like, that was Ada's hand going, tell her this and she'll reveal herself to be a traitor.
Or she won't. But we think she's a traitor, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, if she doesn't, if she was just Skye, then great. If not, then...
If she was boring old dumb Skye, she would have just said, like, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's no such thing as a boring old dumb Skye. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, I mean, Daisy's better. And Daisy...
boring old Daisy, yeah, maybe.
But instead she's Daisy.
Them fighting words. You don't talk about Quake that way.
Yeah. But because it was Daisy, she betrayed it. She was like, oh, thank God. Okay, great.
Well, she's seen her be able to break through. I mean, she was the one that broke through to Coulson.
Yeah.
And Mac was her partner. She was probably she walked into that room hoping she could break through to him. So hearing Daisy, she's like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And, like,
she forgets that there's surveillance equipment
everywhere. Yeah, in the Hydra interrogation room. Like, do you not watch Law and Order SVU in that world?
No.
It's Law and Order UVS.
What does TV in the framework look like?
In the Hydra world?
Yeah.
It's this podcast. It's really weird. They just watch.
Everyone's very confused. Like, I don't. It feels like they're talking about this world, but, like, not quite.
Yeah,
and they're very much outside of it. To, like, a third degree level.
Yeah.
At one point, someone was talking about Batman. It's real weird. That's why we don't watch TV. We build drones instead.
Yeah. Seeing that was really interesting. It did frustrate me that she was like, okay, good, let's talk about it. Because, like, you're in an interrogation room. The most recorded and videotaped room.
I feel like...
You know this.
Yeah. There's a two-way mirror.
I give her a pass on... I honestly give her a pass on this.
She's a secret agent. She is a special secret agent. Her job is to be subtle. Like, that is her job.
Are you Daisy? Yes, they are dealing
in extraordinary circumstances.
That's still
and
her job.
Seeing her, you know, being face-to-face with her partner, who seemingly recognizes her, I understand wholeheartedly why she let her guard down.
She has seen her mother suck the life out of a human being before.
And try to suck the life out of her.
Try and suck the life out of her. There is literally nothing that can jar her. She has seen her boyfriend turn into a squid monster and infect her with tiny little versions of that squid monster. There's nothing.
She should be desensitized at this point.
Jar her. She should be a cool cucumber.
This is like
she's also
an
seen a demon
day.
With a flaming skull.
Yeah.
Exactly like yesterday. Like that just
that was literally like a week ago.
Interrogation room should be a walk.
Evil killer robot.
Just a little red flag.
She should have walked in with a soft serve ice cream and been like, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's it. Like,
So she got cool. sloppy. She got sloppy. Because that's how she was playing it in the first episode.
Yeah.
Just real cool cucumber.
But so Mac now is like like after he has to whisper Hail Hydra to May. Now he's
take a thousand showers.
Way, May in this world standing over a little girl, like it's one of the scariest things ever. Even though this little girl isn't real, like it was still so scary because we know that May has killed whatever part of her heart feels sorry for kids.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, the consequences of saving the little girl in Bahrain. She's like, oh yeah, just because she's a kid, that doesn't mean she's innocent.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, jeez. Yeah. Anyway, is there anything else you guys want to talk about in this episode before we move on to some news and gossip?
Should we do predictions and then news and gossip?
It doesn't matter. Either way.
Predicting.
You want to do predictions first?
Yeah, let's do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do some predictions first.
Then we're going to talk Thor.
Oh my god!
Like a few minutes,
7 hours.
Oh, we have to go home, guys. We can't stay here all night.
Zach and I will stand outside.
So does James, who's our fantastic engineer, and he's like, "Guys, I want
to
go."
We have lives and families. We need to go back.
So next week, I think we're gonna find out. Like Mace is an Inhuman in this universe. Mm-hmm. I think that, but we're going to get like him with like inhuman like strength versus a Mega May, which is what I'm calling her.
Oh, I like that.
Doped up on an advanced version of the temporary super soldier serum that Mace had. So it's effectively like it's just two super powered, like super strength people just going at it. And I'm so on board.
Yeah,
well,
okay,
first of
that.
All, usually most fight scenes with May have fantastic choreography, so I'm totally down. Second of all, this is going to be a fun sort of confrontation because Mace, at the beginning of the season, totally incapacitated May like it was nothing when she was going crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, this is going to be a fun showdown, seeing the playing field kind of evened out a little bit.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't know. Taking all bets, who's going to win this little skirmish, May or Mace?
I'm going to go with Mace on this one. And the reason I'm going to go with Mace is because while I do not think he's going to be an Inhuman, I do think that he is the receiver of the Captain America serum and that he's now Captain America.
Oh, you think
America.
He's just straight up Cap?
He's Captain America except the Patriot.
Okay.
And so that's why I think that he's not actually an Inhuman.
All right.
He's just...
I think it's possible that Mace could die.
Now, here's a question. If you die in the framework, do you die for real?
Well, they've established that you do.
Well,
you do.
That was Agnes. She didn't have a body to go back
to. No, I think they sort of... It's Matrix rules.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Matrix rules. And I think they could kill off Mace. I think it would be an interesting way to heighten the stakes. Especially since they've already got the scenario where Fritz murdered the only living part of
poor Agnes.
Of Agnes. She was in this framework. She was put there. I think they might heighten the stakes a little bit more. I also am not sure the way the preview made it seem like maybe Fritz did not kill Agnes. I don't know. That was a pretty clear through and through. But like in the previews, it has Gemma saying, like, I don't believe that Fritz could do that.
There was a part of like the way that he worded it when he said that, when Fritz said it,
yeah,
was like,
I know exactly who I am.
I know exactly who I am. To me, there was a shade that phrase can easily be turned to be like, I'm the good guy, but I'm a spy.
Yeah.
I work for a spy agency, and this is how I do it. And either he shot her through the shoulder,
that's what
or I whatever.
I think he shot Agnes.
You really like just stone cold Fritz, right?
Fritz, this is a side of Fritz that you guys don't want to accept.
No, I accept it. I think they're just
and I think
at
there
it.
Will be repercussions regarding this in the real world when they get back to the real
for
world.
For sure.
Because Gemma's going to be like, you aren't who I think you are.
Oh, how do you sleep in bed next to a person that you've watched commit murder?
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if you can accept that it's not technically them.
Obviously, you haven't
them,
dated some of the like... people that I've dated. But yes, I understand why you would say this.
Yeah. Also, I think it's interesting that all that Daisy wanted to do was get next to and talk to Radcliffe.
Yes.
And now they are in a V for Vendetta situation where they are in cells right next to each other.
Oh,
so
man.
I think there might be some sort of... I think Radcliffe could also die, and there might be some scenario where he tells Daisy like how to get out of the... Framework.
Just before
like,
he gets
maybe
killed.
Maybe there's like a code that's word a that's like a like a dead switch on,
something like
on
that,
Ada.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're... if anybody's going to be the key to getting out of here, it's going to be Daisy because she is such a computer expert.
Yeah.
Sky is. Yeah. If they didn't want us to call her Sky, why have the entire first season? You made me fall in love with Sky. I love Sky.
She's Daisy.
Daisy Johnson.
She's Daisy Johnson. She is who she's... Here's the thing. She gave herself the name Sky, but she's discarded it because she doesn't need it anymore. She knows who she is, and it's Daisy.
She always needs it.
I do think... I think we're going to be out of the framework by... If not... I think
two
we
episodes?
Might be out at the end of next episode.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think
so soon.
I don't think so. I think this is at least three more episodes.
That's episode... Next week is episode 18. I believe we're getting 22 the way we have most seasons before. Probably 21 and 22 are on the same night as a double.
Mm.
Probably.
So that only gives us like three more weeks after next week. And I think, maybe one more after next week. And then we have... 2 weeks, three episodes
to wrap up everything
in
the
real
world.
Because
they did imply, let's jump over to news and gossip. There's a bunch of implications.
I did want to make one more prediction. They made an allusion to the Russian at some point, which
sure.
makes me think that there's a version of the Superior that's in this, that's in the framework.
Yeah, I'm thinking that next episode is all in the framework. I think the episode after that is half and half, the framework, and then Yo-Yo protecting the bodies.
Maybe.
Along with May Team 6.
And May Team 6 and May Team 6 protecting the bodies.
Maze Base.
And the Russian, like, trying to get at them.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
The reconstructed Russian.
The rumors I was gonna say.
Go for it.
One, they implied that a Graviton is going to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Graviton is going to be addressed.
They just said it, yeah.
It, like, they straight up were like, no, it's going to happen
by
the end of this season.
By that, they meant someone's going to send a letter to him.
Somebody's going to, like, overcall and be like,
now,
whatever happened to that doctor from, like, 4 years ago?
Here's the thing. Is that going to feel shoehorned in? Because we literally haven't talked about him for years. Or is it going to feel like the best payoff in the world?
It has to be justified. And I think if it's that, like, Ada, with all of her knowledge of S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point, just, like, activates all of these crazy things that are out there,
yeah.
That's one of them. The biggest one, because he's the villain that could literally just destroy the world.
I think it's someone's going to write an address to 3822 Gravity Avenue. And
you've been addressed.
You've been addressed.
We have other bits of news and gossip as well.
The other thing, the season 5 thing.
Go for it.
The writers said that they have plans for a fifth season. So despite all the talk that we had and all the stuff that like we thought this might have been the end, and that it was a planned end, they said that they do have plans for another season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
However,
it has
this
not
is...
been renewed.
Yeah.
They just said that they have ideas and outlines, basically.
Which means like something like if it doesn't get renewed, it means like something like Hulu could pick it up or Netflix.
Netflix wouldn't.
Netflix,
because of the branding.
There's distribution issues. Yeah. Same reason they couldn't pick up Agent Carter.
Yeah.
But Hulu is a different... Basically, you need someone who's fine with just getting domestic distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and again, this is why it's in the news and gossip section. And we also got some news regarding the new Warriors featuring Squirrel Girl.
Oh, my God.
Which is just a thing. It's a thing that's going to exist. It's not going to pilot. It's not like
maybe.
They just
said they're doing it.
They're just like, yeah, we'll take 10 episodes of Squirrel Girl and the new Warriors.
Which is funny.
What world is this? What framework have we been built into?
I don't know. But I'm just happy we're going to see Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl in the MCU. I honestly never thought that we'd get to see her in live action in any capacity. I always thought she would be kind of left to the animated world if they were going to do
that. Which
they've
done.
Yeah. But, like, that, it's just something that brings joy to one's heart to
Listen,
hear.
We're going
to
see live action Tappy Toe.
Hilarious.
It's,
speaking of things that bring us joy, there's another bit of news and gossip here that I feel like we need to talk about. A little trailer dropped yesterday for just this little indie film called Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That trailer Ragnarok'd.
Guys, I've watched that trailer so many times. I've wrapped it around me like a warm blanket. It is so good.
You've just enveloped yourself in Thor Ragnarok.
It's got the goddamn immigrant song in it. They've got Zeppelin playing while Thor hits things with a hammer.
It looks like cool. the logo, which we've seen before, but it looks like an 80s hair metal band.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Well, that's the thing. You can see the influence of Guardians of Galaxy on this
I was going to say, I don't know how I feel about that because Guardians is so uniquely itself, but if Thor is kind of being brought more into that, it does kind of make sense to sort of blend the tone.
The way I look at it, there are two ways to do Thor on the big screen. You can either do a Shakespearean style, like intense drama,
like which is what we've gotten.
The second one a little bit.
I think the first one
was straight up Shakespeare, Kenneth Branagh.
But what he's talking about is like Thor, God of Thunder, the God Killer Thor.
Yeah.
Like ancient times Thor.
Oh, you're talking more like Shakespearean tragedy.
I'm talking about the intense.
Like with the Norse Thor.
Like just
that's
a version myth
that,
of Thor
version.
That exists.
That's a version. Yeah. It's a version that there are stories in the Marvel comics that deal with that
and are amazing.
That take on it that are great. But you either go all the way that direction, which we haven't really done.
Yeah.
We sort of waddle in the middle. Or you go all the way the other direction.
And make it the
which is the
trendiest.
Which is the Chris Hemsworth Thor that we've built through Avengers and Age of Ultron and like all these other appearances, especially like when they started getting more comedic with like this roommate Daryl thing.
Yeah.
Like there's like, this is what works. Like,
I
the
know
cosmic,
him from work.
The cosmic Brilliant. Universe is going to be silly. So screw it. Let's get Jeff Goldblum yelling the Incredible Hulk.
And it's also been the movies that we enjoy the most as well are the ones that are they don't take themselves so seriously, and they embrace the humor, but it's still the suspension of disbelief is so good and the stories are so well written that it doesn't matter. So when you see Thor and like Natalie Portman like interacting and all that funny stuff that happens and her assistant and everything, we enjoy those subtle nuances, and I think this one is going to be full of these things and it's going to be I'm always excited when a Marvel movie comes out. I'm the most excited for this.
Who would have thought?
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Because I really liked Thor the Dark World. Not a lot of people did.
I thought it was great.
I really liked it. I thought it did some really good good world building. I love that they're just going full science fiction epic with Thor.
They are.
Like, why not just go all the way with it? And they've decided to. Like, my favorite shots in the trailer are the ones where it's just like the spaceships going over a planet. And I'm like, oh yeah. And like just shots of aliens like in a market. I'm like, yeah, this is make my Star Wars also Thor.
Yes.
Yes. Like, please.
That's a world where you can see what he was talking about with science being magic.
Yeah, exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And the collect. I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, so it makes sense again that they're blending the tone of Guardians of the Galaxy, at least in the marketing for this trailer. And it's also just very 80s.
Yeah.
Like, it just reminds me of like watching some of those old Marvel cartoons from the 80s a little bit.
Heavy metal.
Yeah, for sure.
He cuts his hair.
It's in a loss.
Arena that
it's
reminded me a little of Transformers the cartoon. I'm just the movie cartoon.
Oh. Wait, the logo for sure. The Ragnarok logo.
Yeah, the one of the best cartoon movie ever made.
I agree.
I threw that out there. Say something.
and we could talk about Thor all night long.
And I could talk to Taran about Transformers for hours on end. But sadly, guys, we are out of time for this evening. Thank you guys so much for staying up late to stick around and talk with us and hear us geek out about Thor and about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check me out on upcoming panel for Doctor Who and The Leftovers, which come back this week.
Wow. Sexy Doom you are, buddy. Sexy Doom.
Doom! Yes.
At I Am Tehran, all across the board, at I Am Tehran, literally, at IAMTEHRAN. Find me, share your thoughts with me, and I'm so glad that people don't hate me anymore. Isn't that great?
That's nice.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
People just hate change. It's not that anybody hated you, it's just people hate change.
When I came and
they hated me.
When I came and replaced Matt Lieberman, I got a lot of hate in the first few weeks. Hey, everyone.
Phil Coulson's left hand stopped leaving. Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jesse Klein. I'm not Matt Lieberman. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can see me on Sundays with Zach on our sister network, Popcorn Talk. We talk about science fiction every week. New topics, new reviews, new stuff. What are we doing this week?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
More Thor.
It's going to be interesting. It might be Thor. You can see me there.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Attack on Titan, which is finally back. It's taken forever. And I also write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.